For the 164th time, folks, the Parish of the Patriots is back. I'm glad to be back. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad if you're a first-time listener, I'm glad you found this show, and hopefully you're going to get enough out of it that you're going to want to keep coming back to be a member of the congregation week in and week out. We do have a Christian-specific message that hits around the halfway mark of the show, more or less. It's about the halfway, and I encourage you to listen to it. Believe it or not, I think you'll get something out of it. It won't be your stereotypical Christian message that you probably are used to. And I just, as I sit here with this 164th visit, getting around, sitting together with all of you, just really, I've said this before, but I've just really, what we accomplish here, what we're doing at Radio Albion in general, and what we're doing with this show in particular, and when I say we, you and I, of course, obviously, I'm very grateful for Sven and the network, and just, I really believe that what we're doing overall is just, it's just great. This show, I think, has really matured and turned into something I'm just really, and again, all of you are a part of it as well, and I think it's something we can all just really, take pride in, not a sinful pride, but, take pride in what we've got here and what we're doing. So anyway, with that said, I am glad you joined us this week. As always, we'll have hopefully a fun and interesting discussion. There's no telling what I'll ramble about. I don't even know what I'll ramble about. This is the most unscripted show you'll listen to. I don't even know what we're going to talk about until we've actually talked about it. This show is supported by the voluntary support of you, the listeners. Don't be shy. Pay those tithes. You wouldn't believe it. It really adds up. It really helps. Somehow I scrape by. Y'all are a huge part of that. Y'all are a key part of that. Just think of it as the offering plate being passed around, and you got to put something in there. Don't just be thumping the bottom, making people think you dropped a few coins in there. If you want to be a part of that, go down to the bottom of the description page here. We got Bitcoin. We got snail mail. You can get any more basic than snail mail. People be like, I can't figure out that cryptocurrency. You can figure out how to address an envelope. You can do that. Got Monero. If you got another cryptocurrency, my email address is down there. Drop me a note. Drop me your notes. I always like to hear from you. As you might guess, this is our segue into the listener supporter mailbag. Mr. T, God bless you. God bless Putin. Putin 2024. Well, I don't know. I don't know that I'm that gung-ho for Putin. But then again, if I had to choose between Putin or Trump, I'd have to think really hard. Sir, please stop threatening our democracy and our values. Or we've morphed into the world of our democracy. And it's very fragile. Our democracy is very fragile. It's threatened all of the time. It's constantly facing these threats. How did our democracy survive all of these years? Oh, wait. Yeah, that's right. That term is a recent invention. But we're supposed to think our democracy has always been with us, always watching after us. And yet now it is so fragile. It is so frail. People criticizing government policy is such a horrible, horrible threat to who we are. Let's see here. Hi, Dan. Got some extra money this month from a bonus check, and I was expecting to get money back from federal taxes, but no, I almost had to pay in. I have extra money taken out of my check for taxes, and I'm still just keeping my head above water. I'm not the only one that noticed it. I had another person I worked with that had to pay in for their first time. I got a raise and had to put the whole thing towards next year's taxes. I thank God I still have enough money to meet my needs. Glad to hear that your health is still good. God bless. And that's from Tony. And thank you very much. This reminded me. I saw a story the other day. It's like, the Biden administration is proposing, this bill to tax billionaires 20%. Yeah, it's like, I sit there and I'm like, does anyone believe that shit? It's kind of like that thing here. Y'all remember that thing a while back where the government said, like Nancy Pelosi, the government said that, we're going to crack down on these billionaires putting billions of dollars, in overseas accounts and not paying their fair share. And to do that, we need to monitor everybody's bank account that has $600. You got $600 worth of transactions. You don't even have to have $600 in there. You have $600 worth of transactions. You know, that ain't very hard. $600 worth, you know, because you get, you know, 150 come in, then you pay 150 out, and then another 150 come in, and you pay another 150 out, and bing, 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 you've hit 600. The government needs to know what you're doing. That was supposedly going to be cracking down on the billionaires putting their money down in Barbados or wherever the hell else. It's laughable. You know, the Brandon administration is going to tax these billionaires 20%. And you, I already see the theater playing out. You know, we got to make sure the rich pay their fair share and we'll get the people affordable health care. And then TMR will come in and go, oh, that's against my free market and my values. And that's just communism. You know, if the top 1% doesn't own everything in the country, that's just communism otherwise, and we're against it, and they'll have this whole theater. And it doesn't matter if something passes. It doesn't matter if something doesn't pass. At the end of the day, the top 1% will still keep raking more money, and the rest of us will keep getting more and more broke. You know, they don't care about inflation going up. You get these rich guys, and they're like, you know, I don't care if gas is $15 a gallon. Well, thank you, rich asshole. The rest of us are looking at, I can't afford ground beef. They don't care. They're so arrogant. They don't care. You know, there's no historical, it was my understanding, there's no actual historical record that Marie Antoinette ever said, let them eat cake. Did you know that? I read that sometime. You always hear that she said, let them eat cake. You know, but there's no actual historical record that she really said that. But it is reflective of the attitude. And that part does make it accurate, whether she actually ever said that or not. It is accurate. And that is because you see that reflected in these people now. The whole world is burning. You know, the whole society is crumbling around. It's in a steep decline. I don't care if gas is $15 a gallon. I drive a Tesla. Let them eat cake. Let them buy a $150,000 electric car. What's the problem? Then you won't have to pay $15 a gallon of gas. Who cares if ground beef has gone up, I don't know, 150%? Who cares? That's just pocket change, you plebs. Quit being poor. It is the let them eat cake attitude. I tell you what. Yeah, people get their income tax returns and they have to wait forever. The government holding on to that money forever. Yeah, like the meme I saw here a while back. It's like, the American people and the government's like, wait 6 months and I might give you a few $100 in Ukraine. And it's like, wait 2 days and I'll give you this many billions. That's the way it always works. I always seem to manage to get stuck paying in. I've always wind up getting stuck, no matter what I do. I've always shot to at least break even. And yeah, I still have to pay. I still have to pay. And then you read these articles and it's like, oh, Jeff Bezos doesn't have to pay any taxes. How does that work? Oh, because he's contributing so much to the economy, you know? I get so sick of Team R. Team D, I guess I'm sick of the whole theater. But I mean, you know, at least Team D gives this lip service about, oh, we're going to tax the billionaires. You're just not supposed to ever realize that it's never happened. And I get that, that young dumb people, because I don't mean that as an insult, young ignorant people who haven't lived long enough to know that they've been telling us this shit forever. You know, I'm getting up in years. I'm in my 50s. Not a boomer, though, just for the record. But I'm in my 50s. They've been saying that shit. Look, if you're like 20 years old and you're like, I vote Democrat because they're going to tax the billionaires and give me health care. No, they're not. Look, I'm old enough. I'm probably like 3 times your age. Okay? I'm almost 3 times your age. And I can tell you with authority, they've been talking that same shit for years and years and years. 3 times as long as you've been alive, they've been talking that same shit about, oh, yeah, we're going to tax these rich people and give you affordable health care. No, trust me, they're not. Just like TMR is going to say, oh, you can't do that. You can't tax the billionaires and give the people affordable health care. That'd be against the free market. And then as soon as as soon as Wall Street gets in trouble, it's the free market to bail them out. And you got to get your house foreclosed on because of some crooked Wall Street deal, because, you know, that's capitalism or whatever. Whatever the hell. Hey, I got one more here. Y'all thought the listener supporter mailbag was over, but no. GPD, Global Homo, is putting out, some crap saying fitness is fascism. I'm not even surprised. Yeah, 10 years ago, if you came to me and said, hey, you know what they're saying now? They're saying fitness, being physically fit, is fascism. I'd have said, you're going to have to show me something. You have to show me, like I'm from Missouri, the show me state. You have to show me. But now I don't even question it. I'm sure it's true. You know, I mean, setting aside for the fact that I trust you, the listeners. You wouldn't come to me with falsehoods. But even now, I believe it. Sure. It's just like they say, math is racist. What else is new in clown world? Oh, how's your health? God bless, Triangle Whip. Well, thank you for asking. I did go get my body scan, my scan to look for cancerous tumors. I've got the results back from that yet. I should be getting those in a couple or so weeks to go back in, find out what it says. That'll kind of be the for sure knowing where I'm at. Kind of excited to get that information and have that. And then obviously, assuming if they comes back all good, then I have to do these scans. Well, I think I already told y'all that. Y'all don't need to be all wore down with that. But assuming that comes back good, I just have to keep doing scans for like the next 5 years to make sure it doesn't come back. Because, yeah, that would be really bad. Fitness is fascism. Yes, that sounds, like I said, that's from Triangle Whip. Thank you, Triangle Whip. No, I totally believe it, you know. I mean, well, you know, they're putting obese land whales on, you know, the covers of, you know, fashion magazines, Sports Illustrated. We're doing what? We got fatties, we got tranny, we got everything in Sports Illustrated swimsuit. I don't even know what the point of this shit is. But if you're physically fit, you're obviously a Nazi. But unless you're, that's a bad thing. Unless you're in the Ukraine, then it's a good thing, and we got to send you billions of dollars. Imagine that. I don't have no tattoos on me, y'all. I have no tattoos on me, and you know, I can't imagine. You know, like imagine the heyday they'd have. Like if I had a big swastika like tattooed on my face or my neck or some shit, you know, it'd be like, look at this neo-Nazi asshole. But he got a big swastika tattooed on his face. He got a portrait of Adolf Hitler tattooed on his back. He's a threat to our democracy. We need to find a way to put his ass in jail. But I don't have no tattoos. You go to Ukraine and you got a swastika tattoo on your face and a portrait of Adolf Hitler on your back, and the same government is going to send you $1 billion and a bunch of new guns because you need to be armed to the teeth. Sure. Trust me, the government ain't sending me no billions of dollars. I'm figuring, you know, I've said this before, you know, several years ago, we were all Nazis and we were a threat to the democracy. And now, because we won't side with the quote unquote Nazis in the Ukraine, now we're going to get persecuted for that. It's the way it goes. Talking about, you know, being physically fit is just another way of being a bad Nazi, not a good Nazi, not an Azov Nazi. Those are the good guys. And being a U.S. Nazi, if you're physically fit, bad things. Very, very bad. I was saying the other day, I was talking to somebody the other day, and I said, you know, one thing I've been obviously, I've not hardly ever dealt with the healthcare system in this country. You know, I'm one of those people. That's why I wind up with this horrible, you know, malignant melanoma cancer on me, because, you know, I just don't go to the doctor. I just don't believe in going to the doctor. You got people that go to the doctor at the drop of a hat. They get the sniffles. They go to the doctor. No wonder they can be convinced there's a deadly virus. They go to the doctor. I don't go to the doctor. So I'm not real familiar with dealing with the healthcare system. I am now, obviously, all the BS I've been going through. But one of the things I've found amazing are these people that work in the healthcare industry, in hospitals, doctor's offices. And you know what? These are some of the most unhealthy looking people you're going to find. Yeah. You look at people, here's some guy, and he's like, comes in there and he's like, oh, we're going to do this, that, or the other. And the guy is like 200 pounds overweight, 200 pounds over what he should be. You know, you see these people, you know, nurses walking around talking about, you know, wear a mask for your health. And bitch got an ass like 4 foot wide. It's like, I'd be worried about that diabetes, bitch. You took him up on me talking about wearing my mask so I don't spread the deadly virus. You spreading the deadly diabetes all over your body because you can't lose weight. What the hell? You work all day, lecture people about their health, and then you go to McDonald's and be getting a Big Mac and I don't know, a Diet Coke with extra large fries. But you got that Diet Coke and you can't figure out why your ass is like 6 foot wide. See, it's getting bigger. That ass keeps it. It's growing. You got these people, they got the nerve to lecture us on our health. You got to be physically fit. Well, now, if you're physically fit, that means you're a fascist or Nazi. Bad kind. The kind that's here, not the kind that's in Ukraine. And your healthcare experts, so many of the people working in the healthcare field, they're going to be a drain on the healthcare field because they're out of shape. They're fat. Oh, my goodness. It's not very motivating. You know, it is. It's not very motivating. Take care of yourself. You get lecture people. You lecture people about their health when you're a fat ass. You can't even take care of yourself. Live in the clown world. I live in clown world central, you know, the U.S. The U.S. is like the nuclear reactor core of clown world, you know? Let's be honest, because clown world means the way. It's like the meme, you know, what they mean when the U.S. says the international community and it's Western Europe, Australia, New Zealand, Japan, and the U.S. That's clown world, too. The rest of these countries pretty much aren't doing clown world. We don't realize that because we're stuck in clown world. But if you look at clown world as a whole, which is the West, the U.S., let's be honest, the U.S. is the nuclear reactor. It's the warp core. It's the warp core of clown world. This is where it all emanates from. That's why, does anybody have a doubt, like when the U.S. collapses, and it's obviously in the process of doing so now, that like all of Western Europe, all the rest of clown world is just, you know, falls apart. You know, I said this here recently. I say it again. One of the things that is going to be funny, it's not going to be fun or funny, but yet I find humor in all things. One thing that's going to be funny is finally, after all these years, Great Britain is going to be forced to quit LARPing that they're still an empire and important instead of just being like this irrelevant island. Britain, oh, us too. Don't forget Great Britain. It's like, how great is Britain? It's like this little island. You're so great, Britain. You're the Great Britain is the Taiwan of the U.S. You know, it's the Taiwan of the U.S. Great Britain. We still have our empire. No, you don't. Yeah, still LARPing. Oh, still LARPing. No, yeah, U.S. specifically Washington, D.C., New York City, all those places. You know, that's really when you get down to it. The rest of us out here in the middle land, we don't really, you know, but whatever. U.S. is the core of clown wars. We're the core. And we face all the criticism. And I fully, you know, I say this, that I fully expect that the clampdowns are going to get worse. You know, I guess it really probably largely depends on how open the hostilities with Russia get before they really clamp down. I mean, yeah, right now they'll wreck your life, ruin your life. And if they can, they'll put you in jail. But for the most part, if you're criticizing government policy or criticizing whatever the latest thing you're supposed to go along with in clown world, they'll mostly just wreck your life, financially ruin you, make you lose your job, maybe get a divorce and things such as like this. But I do think we're quickly approaching, again, probably largely dependent upon how hot things get, but we're hitting a point to where you're going to be called a Russian agent or some other label. You know, you're a Russian agent for not supporting the guys with the Nazi swastika face tattoos in the Ukraine. So because you're a Russian agent, never mind a few short years ago, you were the Nazis. Now you're a Russian agent and we have all of this conflict and hostility against Russia because it's our democracy and our values. So you got to go to jail. You got to go to an internment camp. It always comes around to they want to put you in a camp. The one thing about global homo, there's two things. They dress it up. They dance around. They do all this theater. There are two things that global homo always comes back around to, they forget whatever else topic they're talking about. Two things. One, they want to have sex with little kids. I don't know. It's a satanic thing. But it always comes down to, at the end of the day, all the weird sex stuff comes back around to, for some reason, Globo Homo is an entity, wants to have sex with children. I don't know. Don't ask me to explain it beyond it's satanic. And two, people that are critical of them in any way, shape, form, anybody who will not bow down, worship, and submit to them needs to go into some kind of camp. Those are the two things. They talk about all this democracy, and our democracy is threatened, and our values and who we are, and we stand for equality and equity. No, not equality. We stand for equity, and we stand for people not having their feelings hurt unless it's people over here that we've categorized as the bad people. It doesn't matter. They want to have sex with little kids, and they want to put anybody who doesn't agree with them and won't bow down and let them stomp all over them, and anybody who disagrees needs to go to some kind of camp. Prison. You need to be locked up for disagreeing with the narrative. You could hurt somebody's feelings. You're a threat to our democracy. These are two things you can take away. That always boils down to these two things. If you criticize the government, if you criticize the narrative, you need to go in some form of camp. You need to be silenced. And Globo Homo, I don't know. They want to have sex with kids. It just seems to be always come back to that. But anyway, yeah. So yeah, at some point they're going to get around to that, I guess. You know, I don't know. This is why I think it's imperative that to come at these things from a Christian perspective. The truth is of the Lord. I'm not starting my preaching early, because I mean, you know, when it comes down to, we're going to put you in jail unless you disavow the truth and bow down and worship the lies. If you're not coming at it from a Christian standpoint, I don't see how you hold the line with that. If, you know, and I'm not trying to dog non-believers here. I'm really not. I just don't understand the point, you know, and it's going to be hard to hold to the truth when we're just going to, you know, lock you up, you know, just go along with it, you know. Anyway, now we criticize the U.S. People like us, we sit around, we're critical of U.S. government policy. And people that like live in other parts of the world, not the international community, might sit there and say, you know, that's hypocritical. You know, you're benefiting from this. You know, how can you sit here and bitch and moan about things like U.S. government policy? You're on the benefiting end of it, except we're not. You know, and the only reason I want to point that out is because, you know, it's easy for people like to get hateful, you know, like if you support, like everything is broke down into this, you know, like with the Russian-Ukraine conflict, you're either one of these people that run around, you know, putting a Ukrainian flag on your Facebook profile to change the world, or, you know, you're like, you know, pro-Putin, you know, Russia's got their points and whatever. And with all of this, like, I was driving the other day, could you know, I'm driving out through the country, and somebody had a Ukrainian flag hanging on their fence out in the country. A Ukrainian flag. It's like, asshole, you don't even know where Ukraine is at. Why'd you put a Ukrainian flag on your fence? That is something I actually found something more absurd, because you see this. I don't know if it's like this in other states. I really don't. I live in Texas. And let me tell you, in Texas, you will go along. And there'll be somebody have their big, nice house, you know? And all about the only people that have big, nice houses are boomers. And so you get this big, nice house that some boomer lives in, and he's flying a flag up there for where he went to college. I went to UT. I went to Texas A&M. It's like, yeah, you went there with Moses. Who gives a shit? I've always found that so absurd. You got somebody that went to college, you know, I don't know, 50 years ago. And they still bragging about it. They're still hung up. They watch all the games to see how our team, how we're doing, because they went to college there. I thought that was one of the most absurd or laughable things. But to go along and see one of these same people now with a Ukrainian flag on their fence. I don't know. You put a Z on it and really trigger them. I don't know. You know, no, I did not. I did not. Don't be like, if somebody be like, he was the one. I had a Ukrainian flag. Someone spray painted a Z. I promise you it wasn't me. I did not do that. I really don't lock me up. You may lock me But you see people that are like, you know, okay, you know, let's say they're on the Russian side of things, and we've seen these videos and this footage of these militia groups, these basically criminal gangs. Yeah, we've been laughing and making the Nazi joke thing, but they're not, you know, I did a show on it. They're not National Socialist anyway. They're criminal gangs. Okay, they're well-armed criminal gangs doing criminal gang things. They're not the Waffen-SS. And you see, we've seen the footage of people being tortured. We know they go around and kill their own dudes. And I see people, you get these back and forth in these arguments online, especially between people that are just NPCs, and, you know, I support the Ukraine because the government tells me to, and people that are supportive of Russia. And you see people say things like, I just wish they'd nuke them. I hate all these Ukrainians. And you don't want to go there. You know, they're just the regular people don't have anything to do with this. You always want to keep that in mind. You always want to keep that in mind. They don't have anything. You shouldn't sit there and say, I want to see all these Ukrainians dead. No. The regular people, that's why I always say, I'm not a shill for anybody. I'm anti-war because it's always the regular working people that suffer. It's always the regular working people that get drug out there and told they got to fight. There's always the regular working people that get their what little they may have in life destroyed while the billionaires got their money. Oh, imagine that, offshore. They just leave the country on their jet before it all happens. The regular people can't afford to leave on a jet, so they got to stay there and get bombed. That's how wars are. It's like that, circle back to my point I was making. I just want to say, look, the regular person here in the U.S. is not benefiting from this. When they ship $20 billion, they ship $20 billion worth of weapons to help the Ukraine. And then you read like 2 days later, Russia dropped a missile and blew up all the $20 billion. And you might be thinking, man, U.S. is probably raging over that. No, they're not. The weapons manufacturers are like, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean this. I mean this in all sincerity. I absolutely would not be surprised if when they ship these weapons over there, like U.S. weapons manufacturers don't tip off the Russians where they're at. I would not be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if the weapons manufacturers actually, like, you know, send word up the pipeline to make sure that Russia knows where those weapons are stored so that Russia could then blow the weapons up and then the government can send another $20 billion of weapons. They're getting paid. They're getting paid. It's kind of like when you hear, hey, the government's announced you're going to need a fourth booster and Pfizer's already warming up. Government's going to need to pay for another 4 billion doses. They're getting paid. We need another variant so you can get another booster so that Pfizer and Moderna and whoever the hell else can make more money. It's like that. They're all getting paid. So when we're critical, when somebody living in the U.S. is critical of U.S. government policy and you're living somewhere else in the world, understand we don't benefit from that at all. This is like the listener wrote here a while ago. We're working some, you know, slave waging ass job trying to make ends meet. And you go and you don't even get no tax money back. You've been paying it all year. And they're like, oh, it ain't enough. Jeff Bezos making billions of dollars and he don't pay nothing. But you got to pay your fair share for our democracy and our freedoms and who we are. The average American. This is what makes it so nauseating, so sickening to see these people, you know, running around, you know, I support the latest thing. But why you don't get anything out of it? Virtue signaling. What a cheap price. They can buy your submission. They can buy your submission and your surrender of your ability to think for yourself. They just buy it for the cheap price of virtue signaling. You support the Ukraine. You support the arms manufacturers making billions and billions of dollars while you got to pay more in. Well, they're going to slap your hand if you don't pay your bills. They're going to slap your hand and say you owe more money to the government. You got to pay more taxes. But you support the Ukraine. Support your own demise. We don't benefit from this. If you live somewhere else in the world, understand, you sit there and you might be thinking, these people in America bitching about America, why don't they change it? We have no power to change it, okay? The whole democracy and the idea that the people have sway over the government is nonsensical. We have no sway, okay? If you're living somewhere, if you're listening to this show, this is a worldwide listening to this show, and you may be living in some little hellhole country in Africa, Africa, and you're sitting there and you're being run by a authoritarian military government in your small country in Africa. Trust me, we here in the U.S. have no more. We probably have less say over what our government does than you do in Bokumbo province in Africa. They don't care. They don't care. And they'll put us in jail for complaining about it. We have no say. We're not benefiting from any of this aside from the virtue signals. The virtue signalers, they get to feel good about themselves, and that's enough for them. You know, you can't really criticize the arms manufacturers. They're getting bank. They're getting rich. I mean, it's not stupid. It's immoral, but that obviously doesn't play in. That's why they're rich. But you can't blame them on a financial basis. They're getting something out of it. They're getting paid. What's ridiculous are the people that are all in on it for nothing more than, you know, I support Ukraine post on my social media page and got a bunch of likes. Look, I got 50 likes on this thing. Cheap. I don't know. We don't get nothing out of it. Don't get anything out of it. We don't get anything out of any of this nonsense. It's just, and there's not anything new, but they used to actually kind of like dress it up. You know, they used to try to kind of dress it up to where you felt like you were getting something, like somebody up there was actually trying to represent you. And not anymore. Anyway, they don't even make a show of it. Anyway. Hey, I'm going to get through another show without really making Ukraine the center topic is a great thing. That's a great thing. Other happenings. Hey, we're making more progress. We're getting our first black female Supreme Court justice, you know. It's amazing to me. Yeah, because you're probably waiting. You know, you're going to say, you expected me to say something like, and I, you know, the one thing I will celebrate out of it is at least we're getting a black woman Supreme Court justice that has a black name. You know, they didn't cuck out at the last minute. They went all in. We had Ketanji Jackson. You know, at least she's got a black name. And we know, because it'd be kind of disappointing if we got our first black female Supreme Court justice and she had a name, you know, like, you know, Linda Thomas. You'd be like, what? Linda Thomas? You know, like Candace Owens, you know. I'm not throwing shade at Candace Owens, you know, but Candace Owens, she got a white name. You know, if we're going to make a big deal out of having our first black Supreme Court female justice, at least we're going all in. We're not optics cucking. We're going Ketanji Jackson. Well, hell yeah, Ketanji Jackson. I'm looking forward. I wish the Supreme Court hearings were televised. That way we could watch it and look forward to the first time she jumps up and does that. No, you didn't. But it is funny. It is funny because people like us, nationalists, truth tellers of all stripes, we get accused of making everything about race. If you've been at this at any amount of time, at some point in time, people accuse you and say, you make everything about race. You turn everything about race. We just talking about, you know, why the crime rate is up so high. And you just start making it about race. Why you make everything about race? We just talking about globalist bankers. Why are you turning around and making it all about race? Yeah, we get criticized for that. You know, at some point, yeah, I've somehow dodged that. At some point, you're going to get criticized. You're going to say, how come you got to make everything about race? It's amazing to sit here from where I sit and see the media go on and on. First black female, first black female, black woman, black, 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 black. It's always projection, isn't it? You know, because I say the things I say. I try to find humor in things, but I do. I say the things I say always in striving for the truth, whether I frame it seriously, whether I frame it, you know, in a humorous way. You know, I always try to strive for the truth. If there's a racial aspect that falls into that truth, then yeah, we're going to talk about that racial aspect. But it isn't about making everything about race. And yeah, you see these same people, because it always comes back to projection. You know, like they accuse you of being haters. You know, you just hate. You want to spread your hate. And it's like, well, I don't really go around feeling the emotion of hate. That would be a real shitty way to live. But then you realize it's them. They're the ones full of hate. I mean, they are the most hateful people. They hate anybody who says the truth, who disagrees with the narrative. Likewise, it is they who make everything about race. You know, what could Tonya Jackson bring to the table that ain't nobody else got? I don't know, because nobody's talking about what she's bringing to the table. All they're talking about is black woman. She might be the most accomplished. Look, and I say this, I don't know anything about the woman. She might be the most accomplished legal mind in American history. I doubt it. You know, color me skeptical. I doubt it. But she might be, but I am not going to know that, because all I'm going to continue to hear about is first black woman. You see, it is they themselves who make it all about race while criticizing us and saying we make everything all about race. We make it, you people are full of hatred. No, not really. But y'all look what y'all all got veins popping out on your neck. Angry. Angry all the time. I don't know. It's always projection with these people. They always make it about with them. You know, they hate everybody that doesn't go along the narrative. They hate everybody that points out the truth because they want to live in a little constructed bubble of lies. They make everything about race, and they put that on everybody else. You're pointing out the truth, you're a racist. You're pointing out the truth. You're full of hate. You're spreading hatred, and you're spreading hatred because what it is the truth makes them feel the emotion of hatred. So in their minds, that makes sense. You see, when you say the truth and they're trying to live in a bubble of lies, when you say the truth, you trigger the emotion of hatred in them. You know, they always say, well, you're spreading hate, and they try to color it up like, because you're saying the truth, some rando person is going to go out and do some crime because you made them hate somebody else. But that's not what it is. What that actually means when they say you're spreading hate is you say the truth, and they themselves, they're so angry over it, it triggers a response of feeling the emotion of hatred towards you for speaking the truth. And because you made them feel hatred towards you by speaking the truth, then by that extension, you're spreading hate. You see, you're spreading hate. You're evil. You're a bad person. You be shut up. You just shut up, shut down, put in camp, locked away where you can't be triggering people, spreading the hatred. Of course you're spreading hatred. Look, I hate you already. That is where they come. That is where they come from. That is all about the projection. Yeah. Anyway, but no, we don't. There we are, reaping the benefits of living in the U.S. Reaping the benefits of global homo. Yeah, no, trust us. Trust me. The rest of us, for the normal people, we're not reaping any of these benefits. So I'm looking at the time. We got to get into the Christian-specific segment here. So let's head on out. Like I say, if you're new here, I encourage you to stick around, but that's on you. But for those of you who are sticking around, you know what to do. As I say every week, you know what to do. Get in there, fill those pews. Let's get into this week's sermon here at the Parish of the Patriots. You know, I was thinking right before I sat down to record, I was thinking this morning and reflecting back, you know, reflecting back on some of the things I've learned and continue to learn. Maybe that's an age thing. You know, the older you get, the more you have to look back on. So the more you tend to kind of just, you know, reflect on things and you know, whether it's things you've done in your life, things you've accomplished, or as a Christian believer, things you've learned from the Lord. I was thinking how it's amazing that the Lord teaches us. He teaches us, and we go through things. And I was thinking about things I've realized and I've come to understand about truths in this world and such, and how the Lord brought me about to understand those things. And I was thinking about how it was such a... you look back and it seems like he has gone about it in some roundabout way. You know, circumstances fall in your life, you know, and circumstances come about in your life and things change and actions of other people that you have no control over and decisions you make and all of these things come together. And at the end of the day, you look back and you've actually learned a truth about the world around you and about God. It's an amazing thing. But you look back and for a moment, I think, you know, It's understandable how people would look at that and say, well, why doesn't God just tell you, you know? I mean, you've come to understand something. You've come to know a truth, and now you adjust your life around that truth. That's what we do as Christian believers. The more we gain knowledge, the more we gain understanding, the more we gain spiritual maturity, we make adjustments in our life for that that we now understand, that that we now know, that we were ignorant of before. We discard the ignorance, and now we grab knowledge and wisdom, and we adjust our lives. That's how we mature. That's how we continue to grow. But wouldn't it be more direct if God simply told us? Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, we can look in your Bible, and obviously should. And you know, we are told some things. But I mean, when it comes to your life personally, let's be honest here. These are more or less guidelines. And I don't mean guidelines like, you know, when people get ready to start like, you know, watering it down. And he doesn't really mean this. And, you know, I don't mean like that. I mean, really, when you read your Bible and put it all together, you've got a framework, but you've got to apply, you know, what about you personally? You know, decisions you have to make, problems you face, your own attempts to understand God. It gets into a more fine detail. It becomes personalized for you. Yes, you have the guidelines. You have the basic outline in both the Old and New Testaments to understand, to get an idea of where you're supposed to be, so that if you're outside of those guidelines, you know you're not even in the right area. It's like if you're trying to find somebody's house, well, you knew what town they were in, and you might even figure out what neighborhood they're in, but you got to figure out the street address. You're going to be wandering all over, and you don't know. You're trying to find the right place. You got to get down into the details. Our Bibles, we get to what town we're supposed to be, and we get to what neighborhood we're supposed to be in. But there are fine details in your life, and you're like, well, this that I read, does this apply to this situation? And does it mean that I'm now supposed to do A, B, and C? I don't know. Can I apply this? Or is this one of those instances where Jesus was talking specifically to the disciples, you know, and not to everybody that was coming after? Am I trying to apply the wrong things? Am I trying to apply what God is saying to somebody in the Old Testament to me now and saying, oh, yeah, it's like he was telling me? How do I work out these details in my life? It's been my experience that God has things come around to a point, and you go through things, and other people do things, and you make the best decisions, and you pray, and you try to spiritually grow. And at the end of the day, you will come to understanding. You'll come to knowledge, and you'll come to truth. But it seems so roundabout. Why doesn't God? Maybe some of this is because I am currently going through the book of Ezekiel, you know, and reading the prophets. And it's always amazing because God said, you know, this is what you do. You know, we look back at the prophets. I always say, you look back at the prophets. And, you know, they went through these things. And it's amazing and all of that. And people were in awe. And you read the words of the prophet, this is what the Lord said. But when you really bear down on it, they just took notes. I mean, God literally told them. It wasn't vague. It wasn't like they had figured it out and turned around and told the people, look, this is what God says. You know, I always make the joke, you know, when people say, God bless America, and I'm like, I don't know, I've prayed on it, and I'm getting this hellfire and brimstone vibe from him. Yeah, he hasn't actually spoken to me. It wasn't like that for the prophets of old. God literally, they heard a voice, and God said, okay, look, take notes. This is exactly what you were going to tell them. You tell them that I said this. They were middlemen. They were like stenographers. They just took dictation. They wrote everything. They took everything down. It's like God said this. And then they go and they just repeat. Okay, this is the words of the Lord. He says this. And that's what they had to do. And then you think about, you know, well, how come God didn't do that for you? How come God doesn't do that for you personally as a Christian believer? Instead of having to go through years of muddling around to finally come to figure out this truth, this knowledge, this bit of wisdom and understanding, God could have short-circuited that and just told you, hey, this is what you need to do. This needs to be your attitude when you're dealing with this. This is how you need to approach these things in your life. Why didn't he just do that? Instead, you got to go through all this. What's up with that? I get somewhat reminded about the haters, you know, the antichrist, the atheist spurs. And to make clear, just to make clear, it's a broad brush. When I say atheist spurs, what I'm referring to isn't simply non-believers. Non-believers are simply non-believers. The atheist Spurg is the one that it doesn't matter what the conversation is. You could be discussing, I don't know, any topic. It doesn't matter. Any topic whatsoever. And the atheist Spurg will make it into a rant against Christianity. They claim to be atheists, but their rants are always against Christianity. Virtually never against Islam. And amazingly enough, even though an atheist Spurg may claim to be quote-unquote red-pilled on the JQ, they very seldom ever criticize Judaism as practiced as a religion. Their anti-religious quote-unquote rants are 99% of the time always directed against Christianity. The atheist Spurg will look at the world and look back and they will say, well, why didn't God intercede? Why didn't God stop this from happening? You know, how come God allowed this to happen? How come God didn't, you know, how come God has allowed things to become such a mess? He can't exist. He's useless. It's not a matter of questioning. You know, people think that, you know, people sometimes as Christian believers, they think that, you know, God gets upset if people question him, if they question what he's doing. I don't believe that's the case. We're supposed to try to figure it out, and there's no way you can figure out what God is trying to do and what God wants you to understand if you don't question him. You've got to, we start from a standpoint of ignorance. And if you're starting from a standpoint of ignorance, if you came into a job and you had no idea how to perform the job, but you got hired anyway, you're coming from a standpoint of ignorance and you're going to be asking those that you work around. You're going to be like, okay, how do I do this? What am I supposed to do? How does this work? You've got to question. I don't think God gets offended when you question. But what it comes down to on these anti-Christian rants is always a matter of, when it comes down to, if God did what they say he should be doing, we wouldn't have free will. We would all just simply be NPCs in a video game. I mean, it is. It's the difference of, are you playing your own character, or are you nothing more than a mindless NPC in a video game? Because if God just did everything, if he managed, because the things that people criticize, the anti-religious, the anti-Christians, people criticize to do the opposite of that. What they claim is a failure, which proves that God doesn't exist because he hasn't micromanaged the world, it would require removing free will. God would have to be the government. God would have to tell you every day what you can, can't do. He would have to, you would be an NPC. You would just be going through your programming. You wouldn't be figuring things out because there's nothing to figure out. He simply manages everything and everything works perfectly smoothly. And lo and behold, as Christian believers, we understand that renders this life completely useless. Now, it's understandable that when people are coming from a standpoint that this life is all there is, then, yeah, you could understand why they would be upset with the idea that this life is all there is and look what a mess people have made it. They're always on an anti-God rant, but they never come back around to the fact that people are the ones that have made this mess. As God doesn't micromanage this world, he hasn't reached in here and really just stirred everything up and made it a mess either. People have made this mess. I'm getting kind of off from what I wanted to focus on, but I think this is also important too to understand, and it is a point I've raised before. Your choice is, you have the current system where we mature, we have to learn, we spiritually grow, we gain knowledge, understanding, and truth in this lifetime, which is the entire point, so that we become spiritually mature for eternity, for the real thing that comes around. And maybe that's where the really great divide is, isn't it? Is the understanding that this, the temporal realm, is very small. And it becomes easier to understand this, I guess, maybe, the older you get. Life is short, as they say. This temporal realm is tiny. It is very small. It's just a blink. When we enter the realm where time simply does not exist, you just are. You just simply exist. You know, when you enter that, that is the whole point. Because there is where you're at, period. You know, when you enter the eternal realm, time ceases to exist as we know it. And this is where you at. This is where you become. This is where you at. This is where you are at. This is where you're going to be. Period. This is nothing. If your true point of view is so childish that this life is all there is, that's it. And then it's over. And that's it. There's just nothing but the blackness afterwards. then it probably would seem silly that people claim that God is this and that, and but he hasn't micromanaged everything in this world. It wouldn't make any sense. But again, if we were to not have to worry, if God were to micromanage and make sure the world ran in perfect, smooth, orderly fashion, A, these people would still bitch about it, and B, it would require us being NPCs. We would not have free will. You cannot. It's an either or. God could micromanage the world and make everything run perfectly smoothly and not allow any bad things to happen. But that would require us to be NPCs. Or you can have human free will. And as a result, you get all this BS that you see around us. This is the result of human free will. Now, granted, Satan is messing with it. He's got dominion right now over the earth. But still, he doesn't force people to do anything. What you see is a result of human free will. Again, it could be human free will influenced by temptation. But the chaos, the clown world is a result of human free will. What you got around you, this is whatever country you live in. When you look at the nation around you, this is because this is what the people want. You look at, like I said, I'm reading through Ezekiel right now. God's judgment against Israel. It wasn't just against the government. Yes, the princes of Israel were, corrupt, idolatrating assholes. But the whole people were like that. He could have just took out a handful of guys. The judgment was against the whole nation. Don't kid yourself. This government here in the U.S. is utterly corrupt. It's utterly bought out. This whole democracy thing is a sham. They don't care about the will of the people. They care about the will of the people that pay them, that control them. We know this. But understand, the corruption is much wider than the government. The world around us is a result. This is what the people want. Yes, you and I, we look at this and we criticize it and we don't like it. It's not what we want. But taken as a whole, this is what the people want on one form or another. Now, some people will look at these things and go, well, this is ridiculous. And I really am getting off on a tangent. I got to reel things back in a minute. But maybe people look around and they don't like it and they might even criticize it. But if you said, yeah, you're right, the answer is a complete collapse of the current order and rebuilding from scratch. And they'll be like, no, you know. The boomer, the stereotypical boomer, I'd say stereotypical. Obviously we're not talking about every single person. The stereotypical boomer would be like, well, what about my now's house and who's going to pay my Social Security and Medicare? No, we've got to keep the current order. We just need to adjust it a little bit. The person who has a nice high-paying job and is doing really well in life says, well, no, hold on. If the current order, if the economy collapses, I'm doing pretty good with my six-figure-a-year job. What do you mean? I don't want to restart from zero. You see, the people wind up, even if they complain about it, they support the current order. So thus, I got to start reeling this back in. Okay, so thus, to get back to it, the world around you, the clown world around you is the result of human free will. It is the result of human free will. And that's your choices. You get free will or you can be an NPC. That's why the world looks like it does. Now, God, let's reel this back to the original point here because I did get off on such a tangent. And you probably are sitting here going, see, I have a note. I wrote it down as I was talking. So I remember what the original, are probably like, you've been rambling so long. I don't even remember what the original point was. As Christian believers, why do we have to go about this roundabout way? And when we come to a knowledge, you look back and it's like you understand this truth. You understand this truth about life, or you understand this truth and you gain this wisdom and knowledge and understanding of the Lord. And you look back at all the circumstances that had to fall into place and the BS that you had to go through and everything else to finally figure it out. And now you understand it. And you're thinking, I'm obedient. I love God. Why didn't he just tell me? Why didn't he just a voice from heaven or a vision and I pass out and all of a sudden I'm walking in the spirit. And the Lord says, look, this is what you need to do. you need to do this, that. This is how you need to handle this personal situation in your personal life. This is the way you handle it in a God-fearing Christian manner. Then you could have just fast-forwarded. And you could have handled that particular personal situation in your life if he would have just told you. You have to sit here and chuckle for a moment to think about, you know, God having to do that for everybody. I mean, he's God. He could do whatever he wants to. But it is kind of funny to think about everybody's little personal situation and him giving you the answers. But why? I'm an obedient Christian. Why does God make me go through all these circumstances and this and that and get it wrong? You know, I got it wrong. I tried this and got it wrong. I got it wrong over here. Got it wrong over there. The only thing that kept me going was my faith, and that made my faith grow. Thank you, Lord. Why do I have to go through all of these things in a roundabout way? And then finally, I figure it out. And I can put that in my book of knowledge and the little binder I have of things that I'm certain about spiritually and in the world around me. And now I add to that and continue moving forward in my life to the next thing that I've got to figure out. God could just tell me. Why doesn't he just tell me? And I was thinking about this. And I was thinking, you know, it's just like if you were going to school, you know, and you got a weak subject. And when you were back in school, you know, that was a long time ago for me. But maybe not so long ago. Maybe some of y'all still are in school. But when you were back, it just seems like yesterday. When you were back in school, you undoubtedly had a particular subject that you were always weak in. You know, I mean, you did okay, average, or some stuff you were really good at. But you always had some subject that you were weak in. For me, it's math. You know, although with the new math and all the nonsense now I'm a mathematical genius compared to the average person. But anyway, it's a topic for another day. For me, it was math. Now, so we'll stick with math. Let's say you were a student, or back when you were a student, or if you currently are a student, and you got a math, and the teacher has given you this math problem, and you got to figure this out, and you're looking at this equation, and it looks like gibberish. You know, it looks like hieroglyphics or something, you know? Now, you're supposed to figure that. Now, imagine you've got a test. You've got to do this test, and you can take the test. And if you fail, you can retake the test. They'll let you keep taking the test until you pass it. Now, the teacher could come along as you're staring at this complicated equation. You can't figure it out. The teacher could come along and say, well, the answer is, you know, X equals Y squared or whatever. The teacher could give you the answers. They could give you the test and then say, oh, by the way, here's the answer sheet. You can have that while you're taking the test. And you'll be like, great. And you get 100 on the test. You'd be like, yeah. Yeah, I got 100 on the test. Look at this. Who got the 100 on the test? Right here. You'd be talking to the proud around telling everybody, I got 100 on the test. You had the answer key. Their teacher gave you all the answers. So you took the test. You filled out all the correct answers. You weren't even looking at the equations. You're just looking at multiple choices. You just, okay, question 3 is B. Question 4, the answer is C. You know, whatever. You got all the answers. You got 100 on the test. And when you walk out of that classroom, you still don't know a damn thing, do you? You don't have any clue how to figure out that math equation. And if you're going to be involved in something like engineering, where that math equation comes back to understanding if a piece of structural steel will withstand this amount of loading on a continual basis, your shit's going to come falling down because you don't understand. You didn't learn nothing. The teacher gave you the answer. You got all the answers right, but you didn't learn a damn thing. You took the test and you passed. You still don't know nothing. And this really boils it down, doesn't it? This is why we do have to go this roundabout method. This is why God doesn't just personally come in and tell you how to handle your personal problems or solve these personal issues in the way you are supposed to for you personally as a Christian believer. This is why you have to go through all this BS and figuring it out and messing up and failing the test and go back and retake the test and then make an adjustment and you think you get it. But no, you were still wrong. You got to do it again. Thank you, God, through Jesus Christ, that you're forgiven. That's why you get to keep taking the test. test over and over because Christ has made that possible for you. And you keep taking the test until finally you understand. You understand the purpose of the equation, what the question is that it's actually asking, and what the answer is you're actually coming to. And when you're done, you can do that math equation, and you can go out, and you can ultimately, at the end of the day, when you've answered enough of these and you've come to a great enough knowledge, you can build this bridge, this structure, whatever the case may be. And you know that the steel involved, built in this manner and put together in this manner, will handle this amount of load on a continual basis, because now you understand it. Wouldn't have done any good if the teacher just simply gave you the answer. You wouldn't have any knowledge. You would have no understanding. But because you had to fail, because you had to work on it, you had to work it out, and you had to finally figure out, okay, this isn't simply an equation. This isn't a math question. The real question is, will this steel put together this way hold this load on a continual basis? That's the actual question that this math equation is asking. And we've got to get to the answer, and it's got to be right. This is why God doesn't just simply give you the answers. This is why you have to go through this frustrating BS over and over and over again to come to this amount of understanding, to gain this knowledge, so that you do actually understand. You don't simply get the answers right. You actually understand the fundamental question. And in so doing, you come to a greater and greater understanding and knowledge about God himself. And this is why, because ultimately, this brings you to the maturity. This is what you take with you. You know, they always say nobody takes nothing with them when they die. You know, you come into this world naked without anything, and you leave this world naked and without anything. It's not exactly right, because you leave this world, you know, you enter this world as a blank slate, but you leave this world, there is something you do take with you. The knowledge and understanding and the spiritual maturity, the spiritual lessons that you have learned, you take those with you. That is the only thing you take with you. You take that knowledge and understanding. You come into this world as a blank slate. You don't know nothing, spiritually or otherwise. You leave this world with the accumulation. If you leave this world, you just chase around the pleasure of this world. You leave this world with nothing. You do leave like you came in, only worse. You came in as a blank slate, clean. You filled your life up with sin and garbage and didn't gain any spiritual understanding. Then when your time is called and God says your time on this earth is over, and now you go to the eternal realm and you go in there, you don't have any spiritual knowledge, understanding of the Lord. You filled your life up with garbage, and now it's over, and you have nothing to take with you, just corruption. We do take our maturity and our understanding, and we take that with us into the eternal realm. And this, the more of that we have, the more of that maturity we have, and that knowledge and that understanding, more of that we have, the more then we are prepared, the better position we are. Once we move into that next realm, once we go there, we're better prepared. We're not just entering with the bare minimum scrap of knowledge and understanding. We have more knowledge and understanding. People think that, you know, like you're ranked in heaven, you know, like you get a ranking in heaven, and it depends on, you know, I don't know, how many good deeds you did in this life. No, you're in a better position with the more knowledge and understanding. At the end of the day, the accomplishments in this life and this world don't mean anything. It's all temporary. The temporal realm, this is all temporary. It doesn't matter. You take that knowledge, that wisdom, that maturity and understanding, that is what moves you up into a better place as you enter the kingdom of God, as you enter the realm of eternity where time doesn't exist. Anyway, we're going to wrap up on that note. I think it's kind of, to me, I thought it was an interesting topic. Hopefully, guys, I know I kind of got off on a tangent there. But at the end of the day, I think it was a fun, interesting topic, if I do say so myself. But, you know, alas, Tuesday, another hour flies, another hour or so comes and goes, you know. But, hey, I am on Fridays for the Daily Nationals, Sven Longshanks. And, of course, y'all know by now, every Tuesday, Parish of the Patriots right here. So, always a fun time. Once in a while, we get a roundtable. It's about time to do one of those again. Those are always fun. So we'll try to get one of those hopefully going in the near future. But anyways, we get on out here. Once again, thank you. Those of you, don't be shy. Pay those tithes. You wouldn't believe how much of a difference it makes. Moral support and financial support. I need all the help I can get. It is very much appreciated. And we're going to get on out of here. And hopefully you'll be back, as we will be back next Tuesday right here for the Parish of the Patriots.